fire? Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning. Learn more at CountryLifeFarm.com.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at Parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd. PA races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series. Yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
Get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
At the races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour two, about 10 minutes in, and Sire Watch, Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And Sid Fernando joins us, Work Thoroughbred Consultants. Sid, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. Nothing quite like it's so easy to be just, you know, to just get excited about this. It's amazing how, you know, no matter what your ambient moods are and circumstances around, you come here, you build up to this event, and it's just always special.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I've been enjoying your posts from out there.
Hopefully, there's
very
a couple
sharp.
That, you know, well, yeah. It's I've picked up a couple things over the years. I'd like to think anyway, and as you know, as have you. You know, before we talk, your selections that have been so productive and helpful for players over the years. Some overall thoughts. Coming into this, and some of the themes that you've sort of. Pulse that you're getting?
To me, it's just, and the morning line, I guess, reflects it to some degree, but it's a wide open race in my view. You know, Epicenter is a nice horse, but what's he, 7-2 morning? And, yeah, it just seems like fairly short for him and Zandon. or Van Dam in a year like this, you know. Van Dam being a deep closer and epicenter, you know, he's got a big break since his last race. So, you know, I think it's a great betting race. Just, you know, go with your opinions and can get rewarded with some pretty decent odds.
Well, and that's, you know, that's one of the things that makes it special, and that approach, you know, just basically, and we always kind of reiterate that, you know, don't get talked off, you know, if there was a Derby horse that, you know, that you along the winter, you know, just were, you know, got interested in and have been following, you know, don't get swayed. I mean, just you know, what anybody feels coming into this. You know, we can give you as much information as possible, but you never want to be talked off, especially if it's an oddball price. I mean, the oddball storyline, of course, is going to continue to be Crown Pride, and I'm anxious to hear, you know, some of your thoughts about from a pedigree standpoint on him, because it's going to be, you know, an unknown quantity to most people, but. You know, you've identified horses that have run well, you know, going a mile and a quarter for the first time. As it happens, we do have more horses than usual that have gone a mile and 3/16 in this race.
Yeah, especially with the Louisiana Derby now, a mile and 3/16, and then the Dubai race. Yeah, that's definitely happened, no question about it. Crown Pride, you know, we've discussed his pedigree. He's, you know, it's not like his sire is any type of top stallion, but, in fact, I think his sire only has two stakes winners to his credit. Reached the Crown is the son of Special Week, who's the son of Sunday Silence, and we talked about this horse is inbred to Sunday Silence 3x4. So, you know, these Japanese horses have tons of stamina just built into their genetics. And this horse, you know, made his debut at 9 furlongs at 2, which he won by 6 lengths. Came back at the same distance and won again. Now, a couple of things here. You know, dirt horses, you know, 50% of Japanese racing is dirt, the NAR circuit. But the 50%, the JRA circuit, that's turf, is the queen of Japanese racing, and that's where, you know, I would say 85% of the black type races, and in fact, probably 95% of all grade one races are on turf in Japan. But this horse was specific only to dirt while he was there. The interesting thing about this horse that needs to be put into perspective also is that he's owned by Terry Yoshida, the oldest of the three Yoshida brothers, took over his father's Shaddai farm. Zenya Yoshida, the father, obviously is the one who took Sunday Silence to Japan. Zenya Yoshida also had in Kentucky a farm in Paris, Fontainebleau farm. The Silks are Zenya Yoshida's silks that Terry Yoshida has inherited. And Terry Yoshida is, for over the last few years in Japan, he's kind of been out, he's actually operated kind of under the shadow of his middle brother, who owns Northern Farm. Northern Farm has just been dominant internationally, but Terry's had his successes as well. He's not a type of guy, Steve, that's going to come to Kentucky unless he really thinks he's got a good shot to do it. I think he came once before with a horse called Sea Captain, maybe. But this horse, you know, this horse has been targeted for this race. He did run this year after his first two wins, and this is something that's notable. He did run in the Hyacinth Stakes in Japan, which is on the road to the Japanese, it's part of the Japanese road to the Kentucky Derby. He finished sixth in that race. And then he went to Dubai and he won a UAE Derby. Now, here's the important part of that sixth place finish in that race. That race was his only race on a muddy track. So I think, no matter what we talk about today, that if this track comes up, you know, muddy, that's something to note about this colt, because he's only lost in a race he should have really won fairly well. He was 3.5 to 1 that day. And when he finished sixth, he had no excuses in the race. I would say the only excuse is that muddy track. So, since we're talking about him, he is one of the horses I like in this race. Again, with that caveat of a bad track, a muddy track, you might want to think twice. But he, as you pointed out in your tweet, he's trained like no other horse is trained over there, certainly in frequency, and his times have been good. He had this 4 furlong blowout today, which was great. Frequently come back on 3 days rest for workouts. He seems to really thrive on the work over there. He's got the staying ability and his pedigree. Looks like he's got some degree of tactical speed, too, which he showed in Dubai. And, again, the most important thing to tie this together is just the tremendous showing of the Japanese horses over the last 6-7 months in 3 major international meets. Here in the Breeders' Cup, in Saudi Arabia, and then most recently in Dubai. So these Japanese runners really, I think, have taken it up another notch. And given the connections of this particular horse, the way he's trained, he's got a real pedigree for 10 furlongs, and his running style seems to put him at least, you know, in a stalking position. For his odds, I'm including him in my picks.
Nice. All right, so we got Crown Pride as part of the Sid contingent. Go ahead.
Yeah. The horse I like the most, and let me just preface this. First off, the horse I've been following the whole time. I was very impressed with his maiden win. Then he came back and he won the San Diego Derby. Mm-hmm. And only his second start. Francis, my friend and co-worker at Worked Over at Consultants, asked me if I was still on this horse, because I expressed to you, in fact, last week, it seemed like, you know, just the one work between the races seemed kind of light. But I'd mentioned, I think, to you and to Francis that, you know, I'd hoped he'd get a blowout, 3 furlongs, as he did before the Santa Anita Derby, and he did get that today. That makes me feel a little better about his chances. There's obviously, everybody knows, the inexperience factor, yada, yada, yada. I just think that he's a special horse. I think his sire, Gunrunner, is absolutely exceptional. I think, you know, first crop horses for exceptional stallions like this tend to win classic races. Uncle Mo had one with Nyquist. Yex Baffert, Sprinter, the champion who went to Japan. Gio Ponti's son, Ray Fong. who's in Japan now. He just had a first crop classic winner, Japanese 1,000 guineas. You know, we've talked about this so often, about these first crop stallions and how they do. I think it's kind of the stars kind of aligning for Gunrunner. I think he's going to get a first crop classic winner, and I think Kaba is just extremely talented, but he handles himself with, you know, quite a bit of aplomb. I think he's got a great post. He's got a good rider in Money Mike. He's got the tactical speed, and interestingly, I actually asked Bob Baffert what he thought about the one work prior to today's blowout coming into this race. And you know what Bob told me? Bob's exact words were, I have no idea I'm shut out. Not involved in any of my horses for 90 days. I don't even watch horse racing now. Well, that's what he said. But it's the same work pattern that preceded the Santa Anita Derby, and I think this horse is extremely talented. You know, if he had two more starts in him and he came into this race with these triple-digit buyers, I don't think people would be questioning him as much. And the fact that, you know, when I bet him in the last race, he was 4-1. He's going to be much more than that here, probably 8-1, right? What's his morning? Which is morning lines like 12-1 or something?
Which was crazy. He made Messier 8-1 and Taba 12-1. And
exactly. It doesn't make any sense at all. Who knows? Maybe he's going to be 6-1.
That was the number when I asked Gary Young on Monday. I said, what's the fair value price? Gary said 6-1.
Mind you, this is the same guy. He's not the same guy, but...
It is the same guy. It's the same guy. We don't need to dwell on this.
That's right. All right. So I am gonna put him in there. You know, it's really, you know, on an overall picture, Steve, where's the best form really is what you're looking at here. Is it from California? Is it from Florida? Is it from Oakland or Louisiana, or is it from the Kentucky, or is it from New York? It's all gonna kind of boil down into this race.
Exactly. And the funny thing, you know, on that topic, because I've been hearing people, you know, a lot of people have said, you know, arcing toward Kentucky, they've said, well, it looks like the Oakland path was not strong this year, and you know, some people said, I'm lukewarm on the Florida horses. That's kind of a difficult or I don't want to say misguided, because I understand the principle of it, certainly, and you know, the key race ideas, those do stand the test of time. But when you're distilling this field of 20 down, you're looking at individuals, and that's why the whole Crown Pride discussion about, you know, when people said, and Andy scoffed at it yesterday, well, the Japanese have been, you know, they've been winning everything. That's immaterial. It's circumstantial, but it's immaterial. You very well, I mean, look at what we've got here. You could have the Louisiana Derby winner. You could have the Santa Anita Derby winner or runner-up. You could have any of the three horses from the Florida Derby hit the board. I mean, and then there's the Bluegrass. So, and then there's Mo Donegal, and you know, please, these are individuals that have got certain merits and when you shuffle the deck and fold in the pace scenario and where they're going to come and how the race is going to unfold, that's all that matters. And where
exactly.
You know what the capabilities we see.
No, that's
and how we bet.
Correct. Yeah. And that's where your opinion is going to come in. You know.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
You know, two horses I do like in here are the two that came out of the Remsen that have gone on this year to one becoming the morning line favorite, Zandon, and Mo yep. Donegal at 10-1. You know,
yep.
both those horses I like. Again, both those horses, particularly Zandon, probably are going to be coming from way out of it. So you're going to have to temper, you know, your views of the race according to how you think it's going to pan out. I actually think that there's going to be a pretty good contested pace on the front end just because horses are going to go to get positioned, and quite a few of these horses, Epicenter for one, from post three, I mean, you know, it looks like he's going to have to go forward. And, you know, there are going to be other horses that race that way. Classic Causeway, obviously, is going to have to get up there from his post. So you're going to, I think you'll find that more horses are going to actually be on the front end or try to, which will in itself create more of a pace scenario. Having said that, I'm going to include Zandon and Mo Donegal in this scenario, hoping one of the two will close and not be hindered by traffic. Mo Donegal with the one post is really tough. You know, that's such a tough spot for him. And, you know, Zandon's going to have to thread his way around there, obviously, with 19 horses in front of him. But I'm going to include both of those horses. I think you're probably going to be able to get some good odds on Mo Donegal over there. And, you know, obviously, I'm kind of biased in a way because Mo Donegal was a, you know, a horse we shortlisted and is owned by our retained client, Donegal Racing, Jerry Crawford. But he's the son of Uncle Mo. We've talked about his pedigree before. And, you know, he's the type of horse that I've told Jerry I think he's going to be a better second-half three-year-old. But he's got a ton of stamina to him. But he showed in that wood that he was able to close, you know, against a bias, really, for horses coming from off the pace. You know, hopefully he gets a great ride, threads his way through, and he makes a move. So I'm including those two horses, the closers, there's Zandon and Mo Donegal. And then I'm just going to give you a fifth horse. Since they do like Taba so much, I've got to throw in Messier. And, you know, Messier, that was a first start back. Obviously, he had some issues. Something happened. You know, the backer horses get trained so hard that they're going to have aches and pains. And you've got to really, that's what we used to say about Lucas back in the day. Yeah, it just trains the heck out of them. And I think that big gap was some kind of, I have no knowledge of this, but I'd just say some ouchy thing that made him, you know, have a big gap, maybe miss a race there. And he came back, he ran really well. He's come back now with two works, two strong works, including a 6 furlongs and 111 change. He's a horse that obviously can get clear. He's, you know, that backward style of breaking well, get position early. So he's a son of Empire Maker, and he's certainly bred for it. And again, since I like Taba so much, I've got to include him in there. So the selections mine are, you know, the five I gave you are Taba, Messier, the closers, Zandon, and Mo Donegal. and the Japanese horse Crown Pride, staying away from Epicenter.
All right, so a little bit of an anti Epicenter opinion. I got it.
And a big dose of California in there, even though, you know, as Chuck Simons repeatedly points out, except for the few players in California, the form really isn't that strong. But these horses I've mentioned from California, you know, have actually figures to back up their form, and so they do have some strong figures behind them, even though they've been running in really, you know, five horse fields. But I think that's the way I'm going to go, Steve.
I like it, and we got some overlap. I mean, Taba and Crown Pride are the two horses that I think probably provoke the most difficult equations, and Taba trying to do something that's just so unusual. But no one's going to question, as I wrote. Somebody asked me yesterday. In fact, Andy Serling gave me the business. You know, because I had sort of a middle of the road answer, saying, you know, this is obviously an immensely talented, possibly the most talented colt in the crop, but you're asking him to do something that is just, I mean, so outlandish. I mean, to go from a sprint to 9 furlong grade one win to 10 furlong most important classic opportunity, you know, in the world, one of, you know, a handful of. of the world's most, you know, most prestigious races and biggest challenges, you know, on the calendar. At least he gets the benefit of the 7 days. Think of it this way: it could have been this could have been May 1st, like last year, and instead it's May 7th. So he did get a he's 7 days. He's as old and more experienced as the calendar can provide.
Yeah, he is. You know, obviously. Everything you said is true. I mean, you know, it's outlandish to do this in your third race. It's outlandish, not just in this country, but, you know, in the game of horse racing.
Yeah,
it's rare. But you know, there was that Nijinsky colt. In Europe, who, what was his name now? God. Yeah, undefeated in 4 starts. And his, out of the 4 starts, 3 of the wins were in the Epsom Derby, the, King George the VI, and the Ark. Up from his 4 lifetime starts. You know, and those 3 races I just mentioned were all at 3 starts at 3, Epsom Derby, King George, and the Ark. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? The son of Nijinsky that I forget his name now.
I'm not the right guy for this question.
Yeah. A well-known horse, Lamcara.
How far back? Oh, okay. Lamcara. All right, Lamcara. I mean, I would not have. That's
Lamcara.
That's
you know,
yeah.
In the '90s, I believe.
There you go.
That was like one of the most shocking campaigns I've ever seen in my life. To do that, 4 lifetime starts, 3 starts at 3, Epsom Derby, King George, Ark. Done.
Well, it's one of the stories that'll write itself, and that's true of every horse that you know that ends up wearing a rose blanket. There's a few stories here that are a little bit more fascinating and improbable, and certainly one. Sid should ask you too. Do we have an Oaks? Do we have an Oaks push?
I like. First off, I'm glad you asked about the Oaks because I mentioned to you last week we talked about Upstart, who's got obviously Vanden and Kathleen O, who's, you know, looks really great in the Oaks, both by him as well as the other three-year-old colt in a grade one race, too. So he's got a four-year-old colt from his first crop in that grade one race as well. He's got a chance for, you know, a derby for which his son Zandon is a morning ride favorite. The Oaks, Kathleen O, and the other race, grade one. So he's got a chance for three grade one races. And I pointed out to you that his stud fee, which was $10,000, had suddenly gone private, remember?
Because yes.
Of all the interest. Well, now we saw that last week or the week before, an online auction, a share in Upstart just sold for $450,000.
I saw that.
Yeah,
Friday.
So you can see why the stud fee went private. The demand is huge, and now the share of $450,000 tells you this horse is, you know, on a different stratosphere right now, and he's got the runners to prove it. For the Oaks, as much as I like Kathleen O, and obviously there are four fillies in there next, Echo Zulu, I'm going to go with Secret Oaks, Dwayne Lucas. I think for the odds, she's the best play. She's now drifted up with these horses there. I guess the morning line was listed at 6-1. But don't forget, this is a filly that went into the Arkansas Derby as the favorite. Had that bad break, made that really breathtaking move and flattened out. She's had a few works back since then, and, you know, I think, I'll take her to upset Kathleen O. And, of course, Echo Zulu is by Gunrunner, too. So you've got, it's not just Zandon, but obviously a few others, but Gunrunner has, Tabe and Cyberknife, the Arkansas Derby winner, as well as Echo Zulu, who, you know, needed that first race back. And, you know, maybe she comes back in the Oaks as well. But, you know, again, these super contentious field, but I think the arrogant first crop filly Secret Oath is my pick there. By the way, my best bet of the day,
yeah.
My best bet of the day is Cheryl Spite.
Cheryl Spite in the Turf Classic.
Let me
turn to 3-1. Of course, coming off the win at Keeneland, and I thought, Sid, that Cheryl Spite and Ivar. I'd like Ivar from Paolo Lobo inside, and, mm-hmm. and then Santin. Brendan Walsh's Santin is going to win a big race like this at some point. Tyler Gaffleone's going to have to, you know, work out a little bit of a trip, but Cheryl Spite, the 6th and the 11th, the Turf Classic. So we're looking for a Cheryl Spite Taba double, and actually there's your Oaks Woodford Derby pick 3: Secret Oaks, Secret Oath, Cheryl Spite, and Taba. Good job.
Yeah, and I'm single for me on Cheryl Spite. Cheryl Spite's also, by the way, been asked to come to the Queen Anne next June, the Royal Ascot. He's been nominated for the race. You know, Roger and Mr. 50 will decide after the race which way to go. But he has been nominated for the Queen Anne at Royal Ascot too.
And
by the way, he's being wheeled back here pretty quick.
And
I was really Rogers' design. Roger Hatfield said this colt came out of that race like he's never seen anybody recover from a race. And that's why he decided to wheel him right back in this race. So, you know, Roger Hatfield is not one to, you know, do that, but this colt has never run on Lasix. He doesn't bleed. And with his newfound running style, I think a mile and an eighth will be just right up his alley. That's a single for me.
All right. There you go. A little bit of good, little extra behind the scenes. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale, of course, and Sid Fernando, work thoroughbred consultant. Sid, look forward to the big recap next week.
Yeah, have a great time up there, and the best of luck, Steve.
I appreciate it. Sid Fernando, everybody. And there's your pedigree plays. And as always, there is at least the late running side of it in terms of Sid's approach with Zandon and Mo Donegal, you know, getting in. But you can tell that he's pretty focused on Taba and Messier. But I think, like many of us, me included, there's a what do you do about Crown Pride feel. I mean, he's just been too impressive preparing for this race, period. Johnny D is going to join us here as soon as Casey connects with him, and to say I've been looking forward to this, I'm sure I will gush enough when Johnny comes on. Let me slip in as Casey makes the familiar call to Bluebell. Let me give you a little bit from yesterday at Churchill. You already heard, in fact, Lone Rock came up with his seven length win for Diodoro and Flying P and Partners. This horse has been so good in these long distance races. The rest of the card, how about Milfay turning up on the card yesterday, winning for Judmont and Bill Mott? You had some interesting maiden winners. In fact, Brad Cox had one, and so did D. Wayne. Curbstone, a maiden winner for Brendan Walsh. From Mrs. Mosley, one of her homebreds out of the Archmare, Archstone, a street sense. Curbstone went a mile and a quarter. And Dale, we already talked to Dale about his winner. And Eric Reed for the one and only jammer, Jerry Jim Gochian, who still has got a handful of horses, and they won the nightcap with Enchanted Nile, wire to wire, under Corrales, who's really underrated as a rider. So there you go. That was there, and the rest of it I'll slip in hour three. Right now, I can't tell you what a pleasure it is for me and for all of our audience who, for 15 years, of the 17 years of this program's run, were treated to insights about the game and life on the racetrack with Johnny DeSantis. He returns triumphantly. Johnny!
Stevie! How are you, my man?
Johnny.
Long time, no talk.
I'm good. Well, at least on air.
On air, yeah. Yeah. I was thinking the other day, I haven't seen you in quite a while too. Between COVID and your trips to Philly have been timed when I've been someplace else, and we haven't seen each other in maybe coming up on 2 years, I think.
Is that possible?
Think about it.
I guess it is because we didn't get to, you know, the Eagle game. Opportunities were minor after COVID. There was a couple of windows, but you were out of town. You guys went to Rome.
Yep. Yeah.
And you didn't come to Pennsylvania. Yeah, Pennsylvania Derby. You guys were gone. You know, you had a wedding. You were at Ryan Brady's wedding.
Right. Right, that was one time, and Italy trip was another time. So we haven't hooked up. Last time I saw you in person was at Saratoga,
at the golf course, Saratoga National, because the racetrack didn't allow patrons. And that
that's
was
right.
COVID. So
that's right.
It's been 2 years.
How
so what's been going on?
Nothing. Nothing's, you know, it's, you know, you know, it's true when you say that. It's funny. There may be certain sidebar trips here and there or things that occur, you know, like I had a heart attack. But other than that, my schedule and my existence is about as programmed and scheduled out as, I mean, I've been doing the same exact thing for 15 straight years. Where I'm going to be, I mean, if, you know, if anybody wanted to assassinate me, I'm easy, you know, I'm an easy pickings.
Well, you know, your schedule this year, you lengthened your time on the road this year, I think, considerably. Your road swings are getting longer than the Phillies. You're spending a lot of time on the West Coast now, or on the almost West Coast. You spent time in Hot Springs. You know, you're getting around.
Yeah. I think a lot of this, and you can appreciate it, you and Gail celebrating an anniversary in the last couple of weeks, you know, it's very good for the marriage when I disappear, you know, for weeks at a time. I'm much more appreciated when I'm away and when I return than when I'm there for any length of time.
Well,
I think a lot of husbands can...
I know that I like you better, and I haven't seen you in person in 2 years, so I guess that works.
exactly. Well, for, you know, for, we'll talk obviously about the race and stuff, but you know, you've taken some time off here, and it feels like you're ready to wade back into some action.
Well, I didn't take some time off as much as the time was taken off for me. I was in late January. I was put on waivers. I was put on the waiver wire, and I've been sitting on the waiver wire and haven't been claimed off waivers yet. So I'm not with ExpressBet anymore. And so you said I took some time off. I was given some time off, actually. And I figured out the difference between unemployed and retired. It's age. No, really. People ask me now, are you retired? I said, well, I guess I am.
Right this minute you're retired, but
yeah,
but you're
exactly.
You're ready to unretire at any moment.
it's you know, the whole run at ExpressBet, I think it was, well, it was close to 20 years, might have been 18 or 19, and originally I went from ExpressBet, which I was with them from the beginning. In fact, Jeff Franklin and I were jockey agents together, and Jeff, I think, was between jocks, and he suggested to me, he said, you've got to come take a look at this product. I'm involved with these guys. You got to come take a look at this product. And it was in Los Angeles, and I went to the offices of UBet and looked at the product, which it was this, on this new thing called the internet, you were going to be able to watch and wager on racing from around the country, any racetrack around the country. And I watched the demo, and I looked at the CEO, and I said, "Is this legal?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Forget about it. It's a home run. Forget about it. It's over." And, of course, the video at that time, many people will remember, the horses moved about three strides, and then they stopped. and then it would buffer, and then they'd go another three strides and stop. And I said, well, you got to fix the video. And the catchphrase at that time was, this is as bad as it'll ever be. It's going to just increase from here. And so I think about, at that time, what we were watching and what was being planned. And Jeff and I ended up working it at UBET. And then when Ron Linetsky left UBET to go to start ExpressBet in Pennsylvania, which was the old call-a-bet system by phone at the Meadows racetrack in Washington, PA. So when Ron went to the Meadows, he asked me to go with him. I went with him, and along with several others, we started ExpressBet. And I'll tell you, to be involved with two startups, I guess they were, essentially startups. It was online wagering, online horse race wagering. It was fun. It was really invigorating, and it was great at the time to be involved in something like that. It was a collaborative effort between people, and it really was exciting to get this whole operation up and running and to see how it grew over the years. And basically at ExpressBet, you know, when you start out, as startup guys know, you do a little bit of everything. I was the racing guy, and I helped work with the programmers to design the website, how it would work, and I did the marketing and was writing and handicapping. You know, you do everything, and you didn't have time to breathe, and you didn't care because it was all-encompassing and so much fun. And, you know, obviously that was years, and look where we are today. You know, we have several online wagering operations, and we get to watch races from home, and look what the internet, and I mean, it's just, you know, people say to me, well, your job wasn't around 25 years ago. I said, no. I said, in fact, my entire arm of the industry wasn't around, you know, roughly 25 years ago. So we've come a long way, and we've seen a lot of progress. And, you know, sometimes we have to be careful because as many negative things that happen in racing, we have to remember that also some really good things have happened. The fact that we can just, you know, jump on the computer and hear you talking about the seventh race at Sha-Tin, and I can flip on my laptop and go right to the race and watch it and wager on it. I mean, it's incredible. It really is. And so that time, and then all the time I spent after that at ExpressBet was wonderful. So it was a magnificent run, and I had a career before that when I was in the publicity departments at Santa Anita and all of Southern California major tracks, including the Fairplex, which was Pomona and now is not around anymore. Hollywood Park was my first job in racing. That is now a football stadium, I hear. You know, it's been a great run. It's been a great run. And I now know the difference between unemployed and retired. Age.
Well, you're not retired, and you're not unemployed either. And in terms of interest and demand, there's no question about what an invaluable resource you are and will be for, you know, whatever you choose to do next. And I'm sure you can tell people that I was one of the first, I guess I was one of the first people ever to, or maybe I'm the only person ever to, you know, to cheer wildly when I knew there was an opportunity to have you back on the show.
I don't know if do you want the check by mail, or do you have Venmo, or how am I supposed to send this to you?
I couldn't, for what you've done for this show and for me, you couldn't, I couldn't pay enough. I don't know if I've got the resources to repay you for what you've done and what you are.
It's very nice. I want to advise anyone listening, because I think I kind of precipitated the end of my position at my company because it's just a warning out there. I love to hit the white ball around. I love to play golf, and I think maybe I was playing too much golf because of my last yearly review. My senior said to me, your performance this year has been below par. And I said, thank you. I've been working on it. And I think that was maybe the beginning of the end.
Well, there's, no one will should be dismissive of automation and the algorithmic data that can be generated and so forth when it comes to resources, let's say that an ADW can provide. I mean, it's whether it's generating figures or whether it's creating AI selections, etc., whatever. And that's a nice bell and whistle. It does not beat decades of horse playing and horse flesh observing and lifetime racetrack that a Johnny D has. And then you fold in, I've said this before as well over the years, we think of you as a homespun wit and pundit, but anybody who read any of your columns over the years, the handicapping pieces, the analysis, or the occasional opinion piece, understand what a deft writer you are, and you own that craft, working in publicity offices where the demands of deadline time, timely deadline writing and advances, when you started, the overnights were out, no more than 48 hours ahead. So, getting publicity out that would get into the papers was an art. What you have is, a lifetime of authentic racetrack life experience and handicapping and bet making know-how, and that's a resource for so many entities in and around the game. It's irreplaceable.
So Venmo will work, you think?
It's so ridiculous.
You're making me out to be. I don't want to say better than I am, much better than I am. No, thank you for, I kid you, but thank you for the kind words. And listen, everything I've been able to do in racing has been so far, I'm going to say so far, has been absolutely wonderful, incredible. As is often said, it's not a job, it's not an occupation, it's a lifestyle. And the lifestyle has been tremendous. The people that I was able to meet, the horsemen, the jockeys, the trainers and owners and people that work at racetracks and fans. I mean, when I sit down and start to talk to people about the celebrities that I've met at the racetrack over the years at Hollywood Park, particularly Hollywood Park, over the years. I mean, it's unbelievable. And you know, to sit in the box seat at Hollywood Park and handicap the races with Wilt Chamberlain, who, me as a 12-year-old boy, I mean, I remember taking my brother, who was 7 at the time, I took him to a Sixers game, and we got right down where the players would walk on court because I wanted him. I said, when this guy comes by, he's the greatest basketball player. You've got to just, and we reached out and just, I think we came up to like his, not even his waist, and we reached out and just patted him. And I was so proud to have brought my brother down there so he could touch Wilt. And then here I am sitting in a box handicapping the races with Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, it's just, you know, the greatest basketball player is asking me who I like in this race. So all those memories, and we could go on forever talking about the past, but it's all been so great. It's been so wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And yes, things have changed. Racetracks change. I know about California because I spent 30 years there, and that's changed. But it's different now. But what we've given up, and we've got something in return. We can visit any racetrack, anytime, anywhere in the country, in the world. We've traded things. We've traded off the personal connection for the electronic connection. And for years, when I started working with the ABWs, whether it's UBET or ExpressBet, and I would go to the racetrack, any racetrack, but mostly Southern California racetracks. And in the beginning, I would be treated kind of persona non grata, because the thought was that the ABWs were stealing the racetrack's customers. But really, it had already, the customers had already started to move somewhere else, whether it was the simulcast wagering and then online came on, but the customers had already started to move elsewhere. And
We didn't lose Johnny. I think we did. Hey. Case. Did you?
ABWs really were blamed.
There we go. Johnny, we lost you for a minute.
Keeping the fire going.
Now it sounds like you're 8 miles away. That might be the phone.
What happened?
The phone, it sounds like the phone kind of, the reception kind of faded away, and now you're back, and now it came back in.
All right. Well, you said you didn't need to hear anyway.
No, you're making a tremendous point here. The idea that the intimacy of the racetrack attendance and being there is been traded for the ability to bet on more racetracks at any time, and I mean it's an innovation, and it's probably a net positive at the cost of what is probably one of the game's most valuable assets, which is the on-track experience.
And it should supplement that. And look, I don't, you have to get to the racetrack when you can, when you want to go, and that's why event days are huge. Event days are huge. Event meetings like Saratoga and Keeneland,
yes,
and Del Mar, they're popular. They're huge, and people make plans to go there. And I think with the ABW, I think what the ABWs need to do is, we, now that it's been roughly 25 years that they've kind of been around. I think what we need to do with the ADWs is find a way to, now that we've done this, what's the next step? How do we bring some of that experience? Now that we've got Zoom and we've got, people have become more accustomed to, talking to you from in their pajamas or whatever. You know, now that we've got more accustomed to this, how do we bring some of that racetrack experience, bring the people back together? What can we do from an ADW standpoint to enhance the ADW experience? Can we improve the way we take bets? Can we improve the way we make bets? What can we do to elevate that experience? Little things have been done, of course. Every ADW has improved their service in some way, given additional perks to customers, given extra video, different ways. But what about the wagering experience, which basically is what you do? You take wagers. What about that experience? What's the next generation of that? How do we make that better and different? And, where do we go? How do we develop this product? That's the next step I see. To make it easier, make it, more accurate, more fun, just improve the experience.
No argument there. And I think that's, that's the goal. That's actually, we'll save that, Johnny, we'll save the hows and whys or the wherefore elements of that. Remind me to come back to that in coming weeks, because there's probably...
Wait. I thought my contract was for one day.
No. Your contract has been picked up and renewed. But it's a germane, obviously it's a germane topic, because there's what the ADW companies can do, what resources are available to them. Then there's what the racetracks can do, and any other. Then there's the service agencies or the data, the supplemental data services, the Thorograph and other interfaces. How about what Scotty's doing with Equine Edge? There's countless products and services that plug into that topic. But the racetracks and frankly the jockey club with information services and with Equibase and with the timing and everybody, this gets back to everybody has to pull in the same direction and to make what you're referencing possible, the maximization of the game's appeal and utility, essentially.
Yes, and that would involve speaking to each other.
Yeah. Well, and that's why you're invaluable, and why the next phase will be will be interesting and exciting and rewarding for you and whoever might utilize the one and only Johnny D. Let's talk about this race. And we usually, when we get to this week of Derby conversation, we've had months of Monday recapping, and so we've had ideas about what direction and who you've who's caught your eye and how you're going to build from here. Give us give us a feel, Johnny, for how you want to approach this race.
I think the way you approach it is to figure out who your most likely winner is in your mind. Who's the best horse? Who's done the most?
who's the fastest, who's, you know, just answer some of those basic questions. Who's doing well, who looks good, you know, yeah. But put it all together and say, who's done the most, who's the one? You can be right or wrong, depending on how it happens and depending on how the gates open. I mean, you know, but you've got to find out who do you think is the best horse, and then start there, and then from there, I think one way I like to work backwards is say to myself, for each horse, if this horse were to win the race, would I be surprised, mildly surprised? Start with mildly surprised, very surprised, shocked, and use those three to go.
How about dumbfounded?
You can go shocked, dumbfounded, incredulous, whatever. You can keep going if you want. But if you go down each horse and you do that, and then do that for second and third and fourth, you'll have a list that you can then, you know, construct your ticket from. And that ticket, you'll know when you finish that ticket is based on your opinion. And really, with your money, that's the only opinion that counts. You know, you listen to everyone, including me, talk about who they like and why they like them. But you have to form your own opinion, and then you have to say, you know, that's it. And one possible way to start to structure your ticket and move forward is to say, who's the best tool? Who's the horse that I think is probably I'm gonna hang my hat on? And take that horse, and then right behind that, I'll put your next level, who's in your next level, and then the next the mildly surprised, and then some you're going to say, look, I can't see this horse winning, but I could see him being third or fourth, or I can't see him being third, I can only see him being fourth. And then you build your ticket, and you then look at how much your ticket costs and what your budget is, and then trim it down. And that's a good way to do it. Some people will say price has a bearing on who you like, who you don't. And I would say in most races, price really does have a major bearing on whether you like a horse at 3-1, or he should be 5-1. So I don't really like him as much. In this race, I don't think that's as important. And the reason I say that is because the pools are so big, and if you're playing exotics, you're going to get a good return. I mean, even if it chalks out and they run first, second, third, fourth, fifth, it's still going to pay pretty well. It's kind of the way I feel about the race. It's just, don't worry too much about price. Now, if you like a horse and he's a big price, by all means, use him more often in your tickets. But don't worry if you come up with the first choice, the second choice, the third choice, the fourth choice. You're supposed to. That's what all these preps and everything, all these videos and all, you're supposed to. It's when you get down to the bottom and you have to break some eggs because your ticket's too expensive and you got to figure out what to do with certain horses. That's when the rubber meets the road, I think.
For those that had 38 minutes before the mentioning of egg breaking, you're a winner.
they have over under on that?
The over under on egg breaking.
And I'll tell you what, this year, I think, and you can correct me if you feel differently, but this year, egg breaking is at an all-time high. This is a tough one. Not so much at the top, because I believe there are a couple at the top who deserve to be at the top, and then you're going to get into some serious egg breaking, because there are some horses
trying to do things. Maybe they can, maybe they can't.
Are you you're going to do your 7-horse superbox?
We haven't discussed that option, but I would assume we would, because, well, I don't know this year. You know, we changed our style.
I remember. Yep.
Yeah. And we keyed, what was his name? The gray horse. The favorite.
Essential Quality.
Yeah, we keyed him first, second, and third. Of course, he ran fourth, I believe.
Yep.
But of course, the winner was disqualified, so we should have got paid. We were actually correct, but that's another thing. And we had everybody else. We just had him. I thought he was the best horse. He was. And it turns out he ended up being champion. He just wasn't first, second, or third that day. So I don't. It's a case where you're right, but you're wrong.
Yeah. Well, we get a lot of that, right? I mean, that's part of this.
Yeah.
That's part of this exercise.
So I don't know if we'll discuss it, and we'll see where we're at, because the old days of the 7-horse box, I think. When Churchill changed the method for acquiring points to get in the Derby, I think that all changed. We don't get the bombers, the big balloons that we used to get. The race changed, and there's no doubt that the race changed. And do we have another one of those types this year? I don't know. We can talk about it, but. I think there are a few horses that are above the rest, and I think you're better off having trying to come up with a trifecta or exacta or superfecta and have it more than once. I think that's just the way it is now. I don't know that those $20,000 superfectas are in play anymore. I don't know. Things can happen. We all know that Mind That Bird can happen, but I still haven't figured out how Mind That Bird won the race. I look at his PPs today, still can't figure it out. Now, he had a rail run, and it was off track in Burrell, and okay, but I wouldn't have had him. So those things are going to happen. Those days, you just have to say, not my time.
If you want to get into, you know, some ABC type stacking of candidates, go ahead.
I'll give you a quick rundown here. Mo Donegal, I think you have to use him. The rail, yeah, maybe it's a problem, maybe it's not. I don't know, because he comes from off the pace. He's going to have a lot of traffic. It's more likely to be a problem than not. But I don't think it's a deal breaker, because he's a quality horse. I think he's one of the ones that you maybe have in your second. I think his task of winning is going to be difficult. So he's more of my, if he were to win, it'd be more of the mild surprise for me. Happy Jack, I don't need. Epicenter, I think, is the best horse in the race. I think he's developed wonderfully for this trainer. If you watch his videos, he's gotten better and better. And the question, he's gotten some races where he's been in front and he's been able to control the race. Then the other day, he showed a different dimension. That was nice to see for his connections. I think the jock's got utmost confidence in him. I think one of his losses, the horse closed on the outside. I don't think he saw the horse at the finish. He's not a dominant kind of riding. He's won his last few races in hand and drawing clear, but he's not. How do I say this? He lets the field and Rosario think has ultimate confidence in him,
because he allows the field to be close to him, but then he just keeps going. And so I think he's the best horse in the race to me. I think he's the most accomplished. I think he's improved the best. His line is just perfect. I think he's the best. Summers tomorrow, I do not need. He's going to be a pace factor, possibly. The pace in this race, which is a good question. Epicenter can either go to the front, or he's going to be, if somebody really wants to go, he'll sit, but he's going to be on the rail. No speed inside of him. He's going to get the rail trip around there. I think he's going to get a good trip, too, on top of the fact that he's a good horse. He's got real quick early, but he gets going. But once he gets going, he's plenty fast. And there's a difference between speed and quality speed. And Epicenter has quality speed. Summer is tomorrow has speed, not quality speed. Yeah, those races, you can't equate them to U.S. racing. U.S. dirt racing is just fast. So I think Epicenter gets a good trip. Smile Happy, he's an egg boy. He's an egg. I don't know what to do with him. Yeah. I don't think he can win. His last race was disappointing visually, but he's in the mix. This is an example of when the race is over, and I look back, and I see my key Epicenter wins the race, and I've got the second horse and the third horse, or Smile Happy finishes third, and I've got a 30-1 horse fourth, and I say, how did I leave this horse? What did he ever do to me? You know, there are some negatives. I don't think he's improved a lot, but his speed figures are good. His speed figures are okay. That last race just sticks in your craw because he made the lead. The first race back, you thought, hey, he needed it. Okay, I'll forgive it. The next one,
yep.
How did he get caught? He's supposed to win from there. So, I think I'm going to include him. I don't want him to beat me. Because then I won't be able to sleep Saturday night, and I got stuff to do Sunday. So I have to get some sleep Saturday night. Messier, I have to use. He's 1-1. You talk about, look, something may have gone amiss while he was off. And then he came back and raced in the Santa Anita Derby. They only had to finish first or second. If you're training the horse, you say, look, I only have to get him fit enough to be second. He's probably good enough to beat this bunch on his own. I'm not going to really tighten the screws on him. It was a disappointing effort from a visual standpoint, if you're a visual guy. And he's run some not enthusiastic races before. And they were at Los Alamitos, so maybe he doesn't like that track. You try and find excuses for these guys. Again, I don't think he's quite Epicenter, but I think he's a good horse, and I think he's got enough speed. He's got California speed, which is going to put him in the race. And he's a big, long striding, beautiful horse. And if you look at his record, you know, heading into the Santa Anita Derby, he was my pick. I thought, I've been waiting for this guy to come back, and he's going to win. And Taiba runs by him, like he's nailed to the fence. He fought back a little bit, but then so I kind of analyzed it. I said, you know what? I got to give him another shot. So he's in my top mix. Crown Pride. Oh, this is an egg breaker. This is an egg breaker headache, this guy. I went back and watched all his races. His first race, a lot of people don't know that after his first race, he had surgery. It wasn't publicized at all, but they had to remove the bit from his mouth. This jockey was pulling on him so hard that the bit had to be surgically removed from his mouth. He was blocked. He was steadied. He was checked. Any word you want to use, he moves out. He wins. And that's on a mile and eighth first time out. Now, I don't know what was behind him. Granted, he came back his next race. His next race was going the other way, the wrong way. He wins that. nicely. Benny Goff comes back as a three-year-old, checked at the start, made up ground, going a mile off the layoff, comes back and wins in Dubai, three wide the whole way, and just draws off. Then he gets to Churchill, and, you know, we know how he's worked and stuff. A lot of people like him. For me, sticking in my head is a couple of years ago, and I've been reminded of this by text. You said you would never take the UAE Derby horse until one did it. You're never going to pay attention to him until one did it. Well, this guy, he's got some talent, so I don't know what to do with this guy. He's an egg. Do I think he can win? No, I do not. Because it's going to be... Oh, the other thing is he wears a shadow ball. And that's... I think that's a problem because that means... Hold on a second here. Okay, I think I got it. That's a problem because it means he wants to throw his head up. And he's going to get a lot of dirt in his face. And that's a... You know, he's going to get dirt in his face in this race. But if he gets to the clear, he can run. So, Sergeant... Another one on the bubble. Don't know what to do with him. Talented horse. His style is maybe a bit of a bicycle. You know, Luis Saez, they're going to use a little bit more of his speed. He's going to be in the early mix. Who's going to hang around from the early mix? That's something that you have to kind of figure out. If I think right. that Epicenter is going to hang around, if I think that Messier is going to hang around, do I think that Target is the kind of horse that's going to hang around? You know, there are a lot of questions. An example of a horse I don't think is going to hang around from the early is maybe a horse like Classic Causeway. The trainer didn't really want to run, and they're going to run. And I don't think he's really, you know, that doesn't look right. There are some other ones that, you know, you think, well, they got some speed, but I don't think they're the horse Summers tomorrow. If he's up close, he's not. I don't think he's going to hang around. So you got to kind of say who's going to hang around. And then... If you got three or four you think are going to hang around, you got to use them because they might hang around. The Derby, they don't really change position a lot in the stretch.
Exactly.
They really kind of just, if the horse can get the, these are all fit. They're very good horses. They're not going to fold up like a cheap suit, the good ones. The cheap ones will, but the good ones are going to hang around. So, that makes it tough on a McGonagall or Zandon coming from off
Zandon.
The face. Okay, so we go to Tis the Bottom. Not really for me. The surface switches, I'm not a fan of. Zandon, boy, this horse has looked great. I mean, he's moving forward. He's doing everything you want to see. He's one of the ones. If he won the race, would I be surprised? No, not really. His style, he's up against it a little bit. But not a little bit. He's up against it. But, yeah, he could win the race. Pioneer of Medina. Kind of an interesting fourth place possibility, maybe. I don't know. You know, there's things that I like. There's things I don't like. I don't like his style. I don't think he's one of the close-up guys that can hang around. Now, here's one. Taba. I can't like him to win. It goes against everything that I've been taught by the Catholic Church. It's against my religion. I can't like Taba. My 50 years in racing, if this horse can win, I will bow down and kiss his hooves. You know, if he wins the Kentucky Derby. This would be, to me, shocking. I mean, is he fast? Absolutely. Is he talented? He's incredibly talented. But what he's trying to do, calendar-wise, workout-wise, what is workout? Okay, he's not a good workhorse. All right, well, you know, this is the Kentucky Derby. I mean, okay, he's not a good workhorse. I can see people that like him. I understand it. He's a magnificent looking animal. He's fast. He's all those things. He's bred well. He's expensive yearly. You know, expensive 2-year-old. Everything. I get it all. But he's had problems.
and he's trying to do something that is very, very, very hard to do. So if he was 50-1, I'd think about it. But and by the way, I'm rooting, you know, you have all this time in the game, you have people that you root for. And I root for Tim Yachtin and Millie. I love Millie. I love Tim. Mike Smith, come on. You know, Gary Young, my man Gary Young, I got to root for him. You know, there's you can root, but then you can bet on the side. You know, you don't have to bet.
That's the beauty of the game.
Yeah, you don't have to bet who you root for. Okay, simplification. You know, he's an honest, hard-trying horse. I don't think he can win. Is he good enough for the bottom of exotic? Another egg you got to crack. It's up to you. You know, I don't think so, but I like that he tried. Antonio Santos had some success there. Okay. Barber Road. You know, here's a guy, not for me, really, but talk about a guy that keeps coming and maybe could pick off fourth, maybe, launch chance. You know,
mm-hmm.
he's the kind of, mm-hmm. maybe a throw in. White Abario, this guy, this guy's in my top echelon, not the top, but the next group. He's in there, solid, shows up, runs his races. He's 4-for-4 at Gulfstream. Is he going to be as good at Churchill? I don't know. But a lot of them haven't been at Churchill, and I don't know if they're going to be as good. The trainer, he does better in Florida than he does elsewhere. Yes, I know that. But he's won big races. He does a good job. This horse tries. It comes back to the horse. He really runs. So I like him. He's 10-1. I like him. Cyberknife, one good race. I don't know. Some people like him. Not for me. Classic Causeway, not for me. Trainer didn't want to run. That's never, or they were going to run. And they weren't going to win, but no, I don't like that. Tony Port, not for me. Zozos, you know, here's a developing horse, only 3 races, no 2-year-old start. Can he win? No, I don't think he can win. Can he finish and hit the super? You know, he's talented enough, but here's a problem I have with him. From that post position, he's got just enough speed to be 5 wide the whole way. Because he's not really fast enough to clear, and he's not a come from behind. He's kind of going to be in that no man's land, and so that's a problem for me. Ethereal Road, not for me, and the Ultra Eligibles are not for me. So, to knock it all down to a nutshell, a very big nut, by the way. I like that. In post position order, Modonical, Messier, Vanden, and White Abario are my.
Yep, that's what I've. I'm just taking notes, and I've got one by four by six, actually.
Yeah, so there you go. You've broken enough eggs in the lower slot to get down to 6, which is good. You know, and that really, look, when it comes down to it, you just got to make decisions. You know, there are things you like about the horse. There's things you don't like about them. There's a lot of conflicting trends, or else they wouldn't be 20 or 30-1. You know, now somebody would say, well, your horses, you got the first choice, you got the second choice, then you got the third choice and the fourth choice. Yeah, I do. That's the way I see it. What do you want me to do?
No, yeah, you're right. You're right about that, and especially in the current era, you know, the places, and when I say 1 by 4 by 6, Epicenter, then Modonegal, Messier, Zandon, and White Abario, and then the 6, Smile Happy, Crown Pride, Charge It, Taba, Simplification, and Pioneer of Medina. So, I mean, you could build essentially here a 1 by 4 by 6 by 5 super, or a 1 by 4 by 6 try, and then you put those Bs, Modonegal, Messier, Zandon, White Abario, above Epicenter, and you also probably have Epicenter with the Cs above the Bs for the tries. So you know, especially in 50-cent tries, you've got 11 horses involved here, but you're talking $12 for every incident of ticket building. I mean, you literally for $48 could have, you know, a situation where if Epicenter is first or second with any of your other horses, you could even go another layer and make it for $60 or $72. You've got those 11 horses. I mean, how much more action and how much more live do you want to be in a race like this for a modest investment? And the way you laid this all out, Johnny, it's very logical. And, all you need is for at least, one from each column to run well, and you're going to score.
Yeah, I think the Beatles had it wrong when they said all you need is love. They should have changed it to all you need is luck. Because after you do all the work, the gates have to open, and they have to get lucky. And Andy Serling brought up a great point the other day when he talked about trips in the Derby, about how, many people complain about the 20-horse field and it's a scramble and blah, blah. But there aren't real bad trips. And amazingly, there are amazingly few horrible trips. You may get caught three wide or four wide the whole way around, and that's not a particularly good trip. But as far as like trouble and checking, and I mean, those riders all kind of know what's involved, what's at stake, and you may get a Sayas move every now and then. But for the most part, you think about it over the years when you watch the replay of the race and people like us watch it two or three, four times, you know, they kind of have okay trips. Once they sort themselves out a little bit, you get to run your race. Now, there's the dirt in the face, which you have to consider when you're handicapping. Can a horse run through that dirt? And who knows if we're going to have a wet track, fast track, whatever. The walk over, does somebody lose it on the way over? That often can be reflected in your ticket. For example, Smile Happy has gotten hot a couple times watching the show from Churchill.
Yeah. He's been better. He has gotten better. He's gotten better.
Yeah, but he was hot. He was hot this morning.
Okay, this morning. I don't know if I saw him. I didn't see him this morning. Is
that yeah? He got hot again this morning. So that, look, is that a major thing? No. Is it going to cause me to not use him? Probably not. But if he comes over for the Derby now, from the Derby, and he's all lathered up, I might not use him.
Yep.
Or if it's a horse that's on your bubble, and you see something, you see him rear up or whatever, you might not use him. Anyway, that's what I think, and I still have quite a few eggs to break. But, I'm no genius here. I mean, these are the horses that figure, and that's really what we're trying to do.
Well, Johnny, I've got this group of horses, and I don't know if you're going to, we'll talk off air, but about, you know, your usual Derby write-up, but I've got essentially the essence here, and I can put it together as well. And before we do anything else, I got to get to Seth Merrow, but somebody wanted to stop by here in the parlay and wanted to say hello to Johnny D.
Hey, Johnny, why do you keep trying to get my voice? Why are you trying to copy my voice? Why are you trying to copy my voice? If we could rob a bank together, I hope they blame you.
Pick them up.
How are you,
Johnny? I just got robbed by Kentucky, multiple Kentucky Derby winning trainers. I just got robbed
How about that?
Nick Zito stopping by. But Nick, have you ever been identified in a elevator when you're talking and somebody in the elevator hears your voice and say, did they say, are you Johnny D?
Once it happened to me.
It's happened to Johnny.
Yeah, well, actually it did. And he's a very popular guy.
Yeah.
He's very popular.
Yeah.
It's
amazing. It's amazing because you were on Steve's show one day, right. And my best friend was listening to the show.
Right.
And he told me the story afterward. He said, "I'm listening to you on the air." He said, "You're talking about things that you should." Yeah, I don't. He doesn't know about this. What are you talking about this for? And it was you. It wasn't me. And that's my very best friend.
That's fantastic. That's great. Got a smile on my face. That's great. Well, we. Yeah, that's true. One thing about it, we cannot rob a bank. That's for sure, Johnny boy. It's not going to work.
Unbelievable. Johnny, I'm gonna, as always, we're gonna end up. The clock is gonna run out on me here. Any other opinion? You got an Oaks opinion?
I think I'm pretty chalky in the Oaks, also.
It's that kind of race to a degree.
Yeah, I am, and then you got to kind of look for. I'm looking for my Oaks. I got so many papers here. It looks like I'm running for office. I'm glad I'm not working. I should be getting paid for this. Where? There it is. Okay. Yeah. I'm chalky there. I kind of am against Zulu a little bit, which I don't think she's matured, and I don't like the one race. And although, what kind of talent? I mean, she has amazing talent, but I don't know if she's moved ahead with the rest of her class. How about Hidden Connection, Goddess of Fire, and Dawn, the Dawn horse. I forget the name of the first.
Desert Dawn. Desert Dawn is going to be a very valuable commodity if she runs. And as I said to Steve Anderson last week when I asked him about her, when have we ever run a Kentucky Oaks where the Santa Anita Oaks winner is barely in the discussion? That's a mistake.
Yeah, and D'Amato, I don't know nationally, I don't know if he's got a name yet.
Well, from this show he does. Anybody that listens to this show. Yeah.
The man can train, so. And then, of course, I got to root for D-Wayne.
The Secret. All right.
Yeah.
All right, that's a good set of horses.
Yeah, yeah. I think I like Ness. Kathleen O, you can't much knock her, except again, here we go with the not good workhorse thing. But they're race horses. They're supposed to work good.
Exactly, exactly. Johnny, let me get Seth in here, and I want to get Nick's opinions of going into the race. We started the morning with Dale Romans. But it is just, I, without getting emotional, I can't tell you how much I've looked forward to this visit.
Thanks.
Getting you back
keep
on the show.
Keep emotions out of it. It's a gambling game. Keep your emotions out of it.
XB Johnny D, and he's got to go find an employer who's a company that's named that starts with has an X and a B in it. So well, it's going to be, you know, it's kind of a narrow focus, but we'll find one. Johnny D, everybody. Just so great to get him back. Seth Merrow is going to get in here for the last 10 minutes, but I got Nick Zito sitting here and our man Henry that's getting ready to head up to the punch some tickets. Nick, what do you think of this? You've been watching. You saw the Oaklawn crowd more than anything this winter, but what do you make of what we're going in heading for?
I'm a history nut when it comes to horses, and I have a rooting interest, excuse me, Steve, this year. The last horse to win the Bluegrass was Strike the Gold, if you could believe it, 1991.
But a
lot of horses have run in the Bluegrass.
Like Street Sense.
But I believe that's the last horse that won.
Strikey's the last.
Derby winner. Yeah, I have that. The other thing we got going, when I say we, the history. Gopher Gin won the Remsen in 94, Dunder Gulch in 95. I think that's the last time they did well. So, what am I saying? These are my three horses. I like Zandon. I like Moe McGonigal a lot. post one and nothing, I still like him a lot.
It's a different end. It's a different. Yeah. It's actually a positive. He's going to save ground every step. Right. It's not like the old gate.
Well, here's the thing that a lot of people forget. He's extremely consistent. So, yes, they could come over. They could do this. They could do that. And the other horse, obviously, is Smile Happy.
Hmm.
That's my man's horse, Mac. But he's consistent too. See what I mean? He's very consistent.
Two wins, 2 seconds.
Yes. So those, I would go with those three. And then I would throw in the horse that impressed me. He won a race at Oaklawn. I'm going to say it wrong, but Zozos.
Zozos. Did
I say it right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I like Zozos because he chased Epicenter. And I just think post three, Joel has a tough time and Steve has a tough time. What are you going to do? I don't know, maybe? No. He's going to have to go if he's going to win.
That's what Nick Tamaro said yesterday.
If he's going to win.
He said he's going.
If he doesn't go, I can't see him winning the race, honestly. So I'm looking at those four. And, obviously, like I said, I'd like to see Chad, do the same thing Strike the Gold did. And I'd like to see McGonagall do the same thing Gopher Jin did. So I got a little rooting interest there. But I really like McGonagall as a price, too. I think he can't be off the board. I don't think he's going to be off the board.
He's going to be coming late. Yeah. I-Rattle get position. You know that I-Rattle will motivate it and get him involved at least to put in the run. And every indication is that we're going to have at least an honest pace. It's tough to believe that we're going to have, a dawdling pace.
No question. In the Derby, very seldom. Look, you got the California horses. You know they're going to go. The Messier's got to go, right? He's got to go. So I would say definitely an honest pace, and we'll go from there. As far as the Oaks go, Steve, I got to root for Suge, right? We got to root for Suge and Wayne. I mean, I'm just going by my heart.
Kathleen and Secret Oath. What did you mean? Would you have done the same thing with Secret Oath and Runner after the fantasy and everything? Would you have run her in the Arkansas Derby?
No, not me. Absolutely not. But I'm not Wayne. I'm not Wayne, but absolutely not. No, I would have just I would have took that patch. She'd have won that other race at Oaklawn, and then, I would have took that. But Wayne's Wayne, and he's done it before, and he's the master at that, and it was a lot of money, but I wouldn't have done that. Now, and the other thing I was worried about, our list to the show coming here, Gabby's really good. Gabby's good. She said he lost a little weight. I mean, you couldn't tell by the work, and you couldn't tell by the energy, but Gabby's pretty sharp. But look, let's say she loses 50 pounds, big deal. She'll still win. Or Sugar win, one or the other. I think those are the two. I'm not going to pass those.
Secret Oath and Kathleen O for you.
One other thing.
Yeah.
Todd's horse that he got, I watched that horse on a video. I was impressed.
The filly, you mean? Shahama.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with her. So those three.
Well, she seems to be kind of a mojo type. The funniest was when we had Todd coming out of the McGonagall win, and I said to him, I said, what about the Shahama? He says, well, I don't know. She's got a nice look to her. We don't know anything. She just showed up at the barn, and he didn't have a clue.
Well,
so he's come a long way.
She impressed me along with Ness. But those, I guess if you had to take the super perfecta, those four. Everybody, I noticed everybody in the show picks four horses.
You can bet super perfecta. You got the super high five. So
that's it.
You bet.
Anyway, you got to get Seth Manuel on. He's my
Seth's
buddy.
Here. Say hello to Seth. He's on the.
Are you, Seth?
Seth, you there?
Seth, how are you?
Seth's not. I could have sworn I heard. I could have sworn I heard him.
Bigman earlier.
Oh, hey, Seth.
There he is.
Seth, how are you?
There he is.
You're my good buddy.
You got me? I said I was laughing earlier with the Brother from Another Mother voice segment with Johnny D. Very good.
Right?
Yeah.
Seth, I only have 5 minutes for you, and Popo, I feel terrible. Popo, I'm not going to get to Popo today. We'll do Popo tomorrow, and actually, he's working with the Australians on the Form to Win picture for Derby and Oak, so... he didn't send it, so maybe it's not ready yet. So tomorrow for Popo, but Seth, with Nick here, what do you like? What's your Derby Oaks plays?
I just think that Epicenter just doesn't look too good so far, and I don't want to get too clever going beyond him. You know, I said last week when I was on with you, if you look at the last 10 Derbies, the winner is sitting right up in the mix, and I think it's going to break out. The summer is tomorrow, and Classic Causeway go out there, and hopefully Epicenter gets out there well. Also, you know, you get a stutter step. You can't predict that kind of thing, but a stutter step and 10 horses come out on him, and he goes into the first turn, 8 or 9th, it'll be a different story. But I'm hoping he's sitting 3rd or 4th and kind of keeps the trend going. So I put Epicenter on top, and I've been saying for a while now, I like Pioneer Medina when they shipped over. What was it? I think it was Le Comte Day and won the optional claim over Fairgrounds.
That's
and
right. Then, that's right.
Yeah. You look at the numbers in the Risen Star and Louisiana Derby. They're moving forward, so I hope he's a little bit of an improving 3-year-old. So I'm going to toss him in underneath, and that's where I'll get a little bit clever. Then I'll have Zandon in 3rd. And you know, you and I have talked over the past couple of weeks. I couldn't leave Simplification out, so I hope he adds a little bit of value too.
Nice.
I was listening to you earlier, and I like the strategy. I'm gonna put some of those kind of trifecta strategies you were talking about all together and play around. But like you say, for a $12 pop, you can put a couple of those together at a $12 price on each of them. So $50. I may play around a little bit with some of these, and obviously some of, because I didn't know what to do with the two California horses. They're so talented. The Japanese horse, the reports on the workouts have been so good. So Charge It, I like. So I'll throw some of those into those trifecta mixes as well.
Well, and that's Johnny. You know, that was Johnny and his approach. And anybody that for years and years got to read his analysis, you know, he would have that A horse. In this case, he's keying off of Epicenter, but you know, then 4 B horses and 6 C horses. So you can go 1 by 4 by 6, then 1 by 6 by 4. Then you take the 4, you put them on top. So now it's 4 by 1 by 6 and 4 by 6 by 1 by putting, you know, the Epicenter 3rd and the group of 6. And then if you want to spend another $24, you put the 6 on top and go 6 by 1 by 4 and 6 by 4 by 1. And so, I mean, if you do all of that, it's $72. But and you know, if one horse from each category, you know, you need Epicenter to hit the board, and then you got 10 other horses. Essentially, you're looking to run 2nd and 3rd, or 1st and 2nd, or 1st and 3rd. So it's basically a you know, a tri key box that it kind of plays off the Omni bet, that concept. Any combination of those three categories, and Johnny has made hay that way for years and years.
Yeah, I like the concept because, you know, like I say, I like Epicenter. He liked Epicenter. And, if, you know, your opinion isn't right, well, you don't deserve to get paid anyway.
You're not getting paid anyway.
Yeah, if you can't get him in the first couple of slots or whatever, and as you say, you can also put him in the 3rd slot, you know, that's the way it goes. But you get him in, you get a couple of prices. And I'm using the line. I love his reasoning on when he looked down and he said, yeah, and I got to throw this one in the mix because this one comes in and I don't have it, I won't be able to sleep Saturday night, and I got something to do Sunday morning.
Yeah, but him, it's play golf. Seth, you have an Oaks pick? What are you doing for the Oaks? Quick.
I thought Kathleen O looked really good. She just seems to be on the improve. I mean, they've been reporting the workout's not so good, but Chung says she doesn't work. She was the one that I wouldn't sleep Saturday night. I just came out of that race down in Florida, and I thought she's really impressive, so I'll go with her. A price on the card, I thought Gunnett was maybe a little bit interesting, and the Knicks go with a price.
Very good. Gunnett in the overnight stake. All right. Seth will be watching. I won't be watching, but people can watch, of course, Friday and today, tomorrow.
We have a Capital OTB. There's a Derby seminar tonight at 6. OTB TV and the social media channels. Check that
very
out.
Very good.
Yeah.
Seth Merrow, folks. Seth Merrow 2 on your Twitter, CapitalOTB.com. And Nick, I got 15 seconds. When did you know, or did you know with the Derby wins during Derby week that you were, you know, that you were winning the Derby those 2 years?
Well, everything has to go perfect. Perfect. And it did. So you had a good chance, and
that's all you can do is kind of bring them over there.
That's it. Bring them over perfectly and watch everything. Watch everything and just be careful and watch every little thing. Because Sam the Genius Lou, and I'll let you go, but he used to tell me it's the little things that get you beat. He was right. Seth, you take care too, buddy.
Yeah.
Nick Zito. Seth, say goodbye.
Yeah, good luck to everybody.
Thank you.
Seth Merrow, folks. Seth Merrow, Nick Zito, Dick Powell earlier, Dale Romans, Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale, and the return of Johnny D to these airwaves. Just none other. Good luck today. The action is going to be good. We're on the turf here at Churchill. Tomorrow, heading into the weekend, the big Thursday-Friday shows with tons of opinions, including Nick Tamaro to go over the Friday card. Good luck today, everybody. Talk to you in the morning.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning. Learn more at CountryLifeFarm.com.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day of the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series. Yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
3 years in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them, is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.